listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton, greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon. My wife and I co-pastor a church here in Stuart, Florida, and we have for 22 and a half years. And God gave us a name way back, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, right out of Revelation 19:10. So we trust that you can stay tuned in for our whole program. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon till 1, and we're honored to be here with you every Saturday. And we've been on, it won't be long, honey, it's going to be 18 years. July the 8th will be 18 years we've been on the radio.
Our anniversary.
On our anniversary, the date that we got married, it'll be 54 years on July the 8th also. So
wow.
To have a precious wife all those years. And so we're honored to be here with you. So open your ears to hear, your spiritual ears we're talking about, that you might hear what the Lord wants you to know today, what we're going to talk about. And we're in this season now. We're in the month of Tammuz, and we're going to talk a little bit about that today. And some things very interesting that today happens to be the 10th day of Tammuz, and there's a dreadful time on the Jewish calendar every year from the 17th of Tammuz until the 9th of Av, those 21 days. That Israel looks at every year, and there's been so many incredible things happen to them during that period of time that has come against them, and so they fast and do all these things during this time. We're going to talk about some of this, and we can't do it all this week, but we're going to start on it this week, and then we should be able to conclude it hopefully next weekend, and we'll be past the time of Tammuz 17 when it all starts. So we'll talk about these things as we go along. So we're honored to be here with you. And so have ears, as I said, by the Spirit of God to what we're going to talk about here today, that you might learn something that will help you with your walk. And we know that we're in the last of the last days. That's obvious, right, Pastor Donna?
Yes.
And so Donna's got a few announcements here maybe to make, and then we'll do a little teaching on this for you today. And so Pastor Donna, just tell them what you want them to know here today.
We'll say hello.
Hello.
Hello to all you out there. Listen to us on Radio Land and also on the internet. We'll say hello to Roscoe and Audrey over on Andros Island.
In the Bahamas, yeah.
Building the Temple of God. Whoosh. Starting to build the literal building.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. Setting, building. I just see the walls going up. Praise the Lord.
That's right.
Well, that will happen in God's timing. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So when we just thank you for that. And for all you others out there, we say hello as well.
Yes.
They take a special time to listen to us, Andros Island. They can hear us by way of internet. And
or sometimes on the radio.
Right, because, you know, it's important to them. So it's important for us to say a special hello to them as well. And we also say hello to all of you out there, even though we may not call your name out, but we do bless you. And anyone who would like to help support the Temple of God, would like to help purchase some blocks for the building.
That's right.
Or, you know, other things that's needed, wood,
right.
A lot of things are needed.
Anything
to,
at all
when you
that's
build.
Needed, right.
We'd be glad to take care of that for you and get the money to them. So I want to offer that for anyone who have some. Maybe there's somebody out there that's looking to put an offering into a ministry, and and maybe there's somebody good really ground. Has good good ground, and maybe somebody really has a heart for Andros Island or for the Bahamas, and they would like to see an apostolic and prophetic church
on that island,
there
yeah.
on the island
yes,
there
Lord.
To bless the people. Mm-hmm. So you know that's we put the word out, and then people can take it from there. If that's what they want to do, then that's exactly where the money will go, every penny of it.
That's right. Everything costs money today, doesn't it, in ministry? Everything you do, it costs money. But anyway,
mm-hmm.
the funds will come in.
They will. The funds are coming in.
That's right.
I also want to say that this month is almost gone.
That's
I
right.
I believe it. June
yeah.
is almost
yeah.
over.
Yeah.
The time is
today's the 27th
up.
Already. Wow.
The time is just speeding up, and it's almost time for me to do a new calendar.
That's right.
That's right. I just want to mention also that we do have services here in Stuart, Florida. If you'd like to come, we have services every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. And mm-hmm. We come together to worship God, because the testimony of Jesus, like you said, is the spirit of prophecy, Revelation 19:10.
Mm-hmm.
And we also come together on Friday nights for our Shabbat, and that's at 7. And that's the time that we have communion, and we honor the Sabbath, and we spend time seeking God's presence.
That's right.
And some people stay till midnight. You
that's
know.
Right, or longer sometimes. It just depends.
Anyway, so that's every Friday night at 7 p.m. And also then on Saturday, and I'm going to have you share that in a few minutes, Saturday afternoon we have a teaching. That's at 4 o'clock, or we show a video. And right now we're in a series showing a video, and Pastor will share that in just a moment. So you might be interested in coming to that today. And that's at 4. And then after that we have dinner together. And then we pray and we close the Shabbat out.
The service, basically. It's really special how we do it, yeah.
Very special. I want to mention, too, that if you happen to be, it's the first time you've listened to us over these past 17 years, and there are new people listening to us all the time.
All the time, yes.
Which really amazes me, because some people say, I've been listening to you for 10 years, and they finally call us. And then there's other people that say, I just heard you for the
first time.
And so you never know, you know.
That's right.
But you can also listen to this on the internet. You can go to WCNO.com. So if you happen to be driving and you live somewhere else, or if you're from another country, you can go and listen to some of our broadcasts on the internet, WCNO.com. It's called Raising the Standard. You just go to Saturday and look for Pastor Gene Hilton, Raising the Standard, at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time. And you can listen to this broadcast or other broadcasts that we have done in the past, because we do teach a lot of things about the feasts of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. And the end times. So you may be interested in that. So that's available for you, which is a real blessing. So I want to mention that our phone number here, and then Pastor Gina, I want you to tell them about the video today.
Okay.
So the phone number here in Stuart, Florida is area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat that, area code 772-285-7007.
Amen.
Amen.
So if you're interested in coming to this today at 4 o'clock, I'll tell you a little bit about it here before we start, and maybe it'll stir you up to come and listen. Back in 2009, I take a publication from Prophecy in the News, and originally it was God spoke to J.R. Church years ago, and he started the ministry, and he has a gentleman that worked with him on the program, Gary Stearman, and so they were stirred up about studying the Book of Enoch, because it's mentioned in the Bible. And we know it's one of the earliest Jewish writings. And so they did a DVD series with four DVDs about the Book of Enoch. Now, the last 2 weeks we've done it. Today we're going to do the last four segments of that. And each one of those are a 30-minute program. So it's about 2 hours to conclude the Book of Enoch. And it's amazing what they've revealed in this. And so we're going to do that at 4 o'clock. So you're welcome to come. We don't charge anything. And you can listen. It's a shame you didn't hear the whole thing from the beginning, but the excerpts are incredible, and it looks to the future, and even the tribulation period and all that's going to come. And so you'll get stirred up about it. We know it's not canon. It's not in the canon, but it's one of the earliest writings that they've ever found. And it was even found in the Dead Sea Scrolls. They had segments of that as well. But they know it's an old, old book. And we know Enoch, it says that Enoch, what? He walked with God and was not, because God took him off the earth. He was a righteous man. And so the things that he wrote is very important. And so
our Bible talks about Enoch.
Talks about Enoch.
It's in the Old Testament. It's in the New Testament.
That's
so,
right.
You know, it's important. And right. I believe there was a reason that that book has been hidden away all of these, thousands of years.
That's right.
It's been hidden away.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know how long it's been hidden away, but maybe at least a couple thousand years.
Maybe longer than that, yeah.
So here we have this book of Enoch. Now it's coming out this last time because we're in the last days.
That's right.
And, you know, it's very, you know, even if they have missed a couple of the sessions, you know, these last four sessions are very powerful. And, you know, and you can go back and you can find out more about it because you've got the information in book form.
There's a publication you can buy called the Old Testament Pseudepigrapha. The word mm-hmm. pseudia means we don't know for sure who wrote it, but we know who wrote Enoch, we know. And so it's in those, it's two-volume set. So I read this years ago. It's a long book, takes a long time. And the terminology is a little bit different than we might think today because it was written. The translation that we have here was done in the Elizabethan English, like King James Bible. But there's a little different things, like they talk about the watchers and some things, a little bit different than we might understand today. But
the Bible talks about watchers.
That's right. But Gary and J.R. brings it out really clearly what it's all about.
It talks about the giants.
That's right.
And there's so much in it. It's just really, it's really awesome. So I know you'll be blessed if you'd like to come
right.
and learn more about that, how much, right. you know, Enoch. He walked with God, and God
took him.
He pleased God. He pleased
sure did.
God. So, and you know, it's interesting. He took him alive. He didn't die.
That's
he
right.
took him alive.
He took him off
well,
the
there's going to be a certain crowd of people in the very last, before Jesus comes back, is going to come in the sky, and he's going to take some people away.
That's right.
And which one, there's an example there. Who's he going to take away? Those that are walking with God.
Walking with the Lord.
Those that are righteous. You know, Jesus is coming back for those that are looking for him.
That's
some
right.
people are not looking for Jesus to come in the sky.
That's right.
We should always be looking and ready and have our hearts right and not be living in sin.
That's
God's
right.
looking, he says he's looking for, he wants, or he's going to take away those who are righteous and who are truly love the Lord with all their heart and their mind. And, you know, salvation is one thing, but, you know, to make Jesus Lord of your life, that's something that we all need to strive for. Or that he would be Lord of every single part of our life, every thought, every decision, everything we do,
right.
which is, you know, it's not easy. But Enoch is a good example how he walked with God and God took him away. And God's going to do that again.
Amen. When you think about, you know, with Enoch and all that, it's incredible. It also confirms the things over in Genesis chapter 6 about the sons of God, the fallen angels that came down
That's
and
right.
cohabitated with the women. That confirms it there. There's another Jewish writing called in the book of Jasher, confirms it there. And so we hear this teaching a lot in the church that the sons of God were the sons of Seth. Well, it's not got nothing to do with Seth. It's got to do with what happened in the heavenly realm. And they came down here and they polluted the earth. And that's in the mankind, and that's why God had to bring the flood to destroy all that. And we talked about that last week quite a bit.
And the Bible talks about the giants, and we're reading through the Torah portions. We read through the Torah portions like the Jewish people do. You know, we're in the book of Numbers right now, and the book of Numbers talked about the giants. And what are they called? They're called the
Nephilim.
Nephilim.
That's
and
right.
this book talks about it as well. So we can just see if we parallel everything with the Bible and we line everything up with the Bible, we'll see that this book is not it's true. It's the truth. And it lines up with the Word of God, with our Bible that we have right in front of us. And so, you know, whenever you're looking at something else, you need to be looking at your Bible as well and see if there's an agreement there.
That's right.
Because it's going to agree. And so here we're reading in the book of Numbers, and now we're doing this. It's interesting how at our church, the Spirit of Prophecy, because we have that Spirit of Prophecy. It's a spirit, you know, when it says Revelation 19:10,
mm-hmm.
we can all hear from the Lord and we can all prophesy.
That's right.
But there's a spirit of prophecy. It doesn't mean that we're all prophets. There are prophets in the land, but not every, but that's when this people come into our church and they hear the word spirit of prophecy, you know, it's almost like maybe they've never prophesied. Maybe it's a child. They can prophesy because it's an anointing. It's something you catch. You know, you don't have to learn because we don't have to learn. I mean, we do need to practice hearing the voice of the Lord, and we do need discernment. We need to know how to discern these things.
And have teaching on it.
And have teaching on it. But, you know, people who've never even read through the whole Bible can get a rhema word, a living word, from the Lord.
That's right.
Otherwise, how would you ever get saved?
Mm-hmm.
God spoke to you, literally.
Before I got saved.
Before you got saved, you were out running in the rain, And the Lord said, why don't you just turn your life over to me? You heard that.
I sure did.
In your spirit, man.
I bowed my knee on the side of the road.
You bowed on the side of the road, and also the rain was coming down, and your tears were coming down. And we'll see that the Lord spoke to your heart. And, you know, sometimes it's just you say, well, where did that come from? It just comes out of the blue. Well, the Bible says it come from the east, it come from the west. We don't know. It's just it's the Spirit of God that touches our spirit. And you know what? The Spirit of God is everywhere. Yeah. Touches our spirit and draws us to come to Him. He is always calling, wooing people to come to Him. So, you know, sometimes people turn Him away. You turn Him away many times, probably that He wooed you earlier.
That's right.
But, you know, it was the right time. There's always a right time. Then God knows exactly when He can capture your heart. And that's what it's all about, is capturing. God wants to capture our heart.
That's right. Amen.
Awesome.
So these other books we have that we know they're non-canonical, but the thing is, they have a lot of teachings that the Jewish people look at. And the Jews today, they still honor the book of Jude. They look at those things. Even in Jesus' day. Think about...
The book of Jude?
Right.
Jude.
I'm sorry. We're talking about Jude, yeah. I'm talking about...
Enoch.
The book of Enoch, yeah. But anyway, when we think about all these wonderful things that we have, and we even think about, you know, we don't have anything hardly at all in the Bible about the time of Hanukkah that was established. But we have two books of Maccabees. It's a history. It tells you all that. And so we can glean from all that. And, you know, the New Testament only mentions one place. And it's called Hanukkah, basically, in John chapter 10. You know,
it was the dedication.
The dedication was Hanukkah. And also it's revealed in Daniel chapter 8, I believe, also. But for the most part, we don't have very much there, but we can glean and look at these things with these other writings that the Jewish people have, and they honor those things. Amen.
And with Hanukkah, you happen to mention Hanukkah. You say, well, how do you know that dedication there means Hanukkah? Well, because it tells you the time. It tells you the season.
In the winter
time, there's only one season in the winter that people celebrate, and it's Hanukkah.
That's
You know, you don't celebrate Passover in the winter. It says it was in the winter. You don't celebrate Feast of Tabernacles in the winter. No, that's in the fall, autumn time. So that's why it's important that we know the different, and we look at every single word. You know, every single word will give us direction about about something, about when it was, who it was, what happened. You know, what was the dispensation of time. So it's important that we look at every single word, and that's why we use the King James Bible, because we want to be as close to accurate as possible.
Build in dictionary, too.
To build in dictionary.
Right. So, think about John 10 over there says it was a day of dedication, okay, when Jesus was there at the temple. Well, the word dedication, in our English word, if you look at it in the Hebrew, it's the word Hanukkah. So that's how it came, okay? All right, we're going to talk about this a little bit today, about this Tammuz. And I thought about this before we came on this morning, Pastor Donna, that how do the Jewish people ever get this name Tammuz on their calendar when it's such a pagan thing of a false fertility god and all, and it's on their calendar? And it's interesting, sometimes I think, well, you know, Israel had all these problems from starting on Nisan 17 through the 9th of Av. Maybe it's because of what they were doing in the month of Tammuz before they got to the month of Av. And we know that both the temples, the one in 586 BC and the one in 70 AD, was destroyed on the 9th of Av, the exact same time every year. It's amazing when we think about this.
So we're in the month of Tammuz right now.
Yeah,
it's the third day.
Yeah, this is the 10th day. Today's the 10th day, I believe, if I looked at the calendar, right?
You're right.
It's the 10th day. So let's look and see. I looked up some scriptures this morning. Let's go take a look and see about what this reveals in the Bible. If we go over to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 8, we're going to see something very interesting here with a couple of verses. And we know that God was very upset with Israel, what was going on. And he, you know, Ezekiel was taken in a vision, and he showed him all these abominations in the city of Jerusalem. He had him look through the cracks of the walls and all. He looked in there and he saw all these abominations. And one thing he saw was this graffiti written all over the walls and all that. But then God told him in chapter 8, verse 13, he said this to Ezekiel. He said, also unto me, turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations that they do. It was pathetic how
greater
bad.
Greater than that.
Greater.
Oh.
And then he said, then he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was toward the north. And behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. Isn't that incredible? Weeping for Tammuz. Well, why were they weeping? Well, if we study this pagan system that was in place at that time and all, they wept 40 days prior to the festival called Ishtar, which was a fertility god. And so that name was Tammuz, okay? And I wonder sometimes about this time called the season of Lent that some of the denominations use, you know, when they put the black stuff on their hair, on their forehead and up in their face. Well, could that be from this 40 days that these women were weeping before Tammuz, this pagan god, before their festival? So we have, here it's mentioned right here in the Bible. Now let's look at a couple other places. I want to go to Jeremiah. Back up to Jeremiah chapter 7 with me, you know, with me if you're at home. Jeremiah chapter 7. I'm turning this slowly so I don't make too much noise on the radio here, but that's all right. We're using the Word of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your Word.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go to Jeremiah chapter 7 with you. I'm almost there. All right. Jeremiah chapter 17. Let's look at this right here. Look at verse 17 and 18 in this chapter. Look at this. God says, "Seest thou not what they do in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem?" And we got stuff going on in America that God's not too happy with. Listen to this. "The children gather wood, and the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead their dough to make cakes." They made raisin cakes to the Queen of Heaven. This was Tammuz. "And to pour out drink offerings unto other gods, that they may provoke me to anger. Do they provoke me to anger, saith the Lord? Do they not provoke themselves to the confusion of their own faces?" That's what it brought. So that's an interesting place. Now if we go over to chapter 44.
And I'm going to go ahead and read verse 20.
Go right ahead.
Because, you know, things like this make God angry. Some about, oh, Pastor Gene, Pastor Don, you said God gets angry? Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm.
It says, verse 20, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, my anger and my fury shall be poured out upon this place, upon man and upon beast and upon the trees of the field."
Ooh,
that's going to cause them to burn.
Yeah.
There's a lot of prophecies about fire.
Mm-hmm.
"And upon the fruit of the ground, and it shall burn
and shall not be quenched."
And it shall not be quenched. You know, there are prophecies, I've even heard them just recently, about fires. Places are going to burn.
Right.
Because of what? Because God has been provoked.
Mm-hmm.
"Do they provoke me to anger," it says here.
That's right.
God is provoked at this generation, this
That's
evil
right.
generation.
And our country's right here. Right
our
now.
Country is in the same place. This evil generation.
I want to go on and read some more here, Pastor Don, in the same chapter. Verse 21 says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, put your burnt offerings unto your sacrifices and eat flesh. For I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices." He never wanted that.
Mm-mm.
"But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people.
Mm-hmm.
And walk ye in all the ways that I commanded you, that it may be well unto you. But they hearkened not." Listen to this. They were stiff-necked.
Mm-hmm.
They were defiant, huh? "But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. Since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt unto this day, I have even sent unto you all my servants, the prophets. Over and over again he sent them.
Daily raising up early
and sending them. Yet they hearkened not unto me, nor inclined their ear, but hardened their neck. They did worse than their fathers, their forefathers.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore thou shalt speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken to thee. Thou shalt also call unto them, but they will not answer thee. But thou shalt say unto them, this is a nation." Listen to this. "This is a nation that obeyed not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction. Truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth." Boy, what an indictment from God, huh?
Well, and some people say, well, he's talking to Israel. Well,
sure.
You know what? If we are born again, we're grafted in.
That's right.
To this word. We're grafted into the Word of God. You know, the Word of God isn't different for a Jewish person than it is for a born-again Christian, because we are grafted in. So our nation can look at this and say, you know, we have sinned. We have sinned. Truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth. What are people saying now about all of these different things that are happening in our nation?
You got it.
And we could sit here and just list them over and over and over again. How the Word of God is being destroyed. How God is being taken off of. They want to take God off of everything. It's just, you know, You know, all you have to do is look at the news. I don't have to sit here and tell everybody the laws, how the laws are being changed. Look at what's going on. Look at how Christians are living, how Christians live, and they don't think that God sees. God sees everything.
That's right.
They don't think that it's going to affect them because they've asked Jesus to come into their heart. But once somebody has asked Jesus to come into their heart, once somebody who has made Jesus their Lord, they're going to obey His voice.
That's right. You think about this righteous people that will be caught off the earth. Well, what righteousness do we have to have? It's not anything that we think we're righteous about. It's got to be the righteousness that the Lord gives, and also to do things according to His word, what He told us to do. Amen? And if we don't, well, then how can we say we're righteous? I mentioned,
God goes on to tell them to take up a lamentation.
That's right.
Well, you know, that's the same here. We
lament.
Need to do that as well. Mm-hmm. And perhaps there might be, you know, there's going to be more people getting saved, I believe. But perhaps those who have, there's many Christians that have turned their face on God and they're doing their own thing.
They are
not doing what God's word said. God's word says to return to the ancient paths, to look and to do the things that God called them to do and to be, and to obey the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, and, you know, and come back to return.
That's
to
right.
Teshuvah.
Amen.
We're coming into that season called Teshuvah.
That's right. Won't
which
be long.
Means to return.
That's right.
Unto the Lord.
But I think even about our Supreme Court, you know,
oh my,
these nine people, well, they're not making righteous judgments according to the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
They're catering to what people think and all this because of the freedom that we have. Well, those things are wrong, and they're going to pay a great price someday for what they're doing. Our righteousness is based on the word of God. If He says to do something, wonderful. If it says not to do something, don't do it. All right?
How can nine people make a decision
for our whole country
to change the laws for
That's
our whole
right.
country?
That's right. That's why we have. We just had this thing this week about the Obamacare, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be, the vote was what, 6-4 and 3 against. So it's going to be in place, whether we like it or not.
6-3.
There's nine judges on that, okay? And they're controlling what's going on in the country. But, you know, I think about this. Israel was judged so severely because of their disobedience to God and their defiance to Him. Well, do we think we're going to escape from this? We're doing the same thing today with same-sex marriage, homosexuality, lesbianism, there's killing babies. We got all this, all these abominations going on with that God hates. How do we think we're going to escape all that if we continue in that arena?
Because they're not just making laws that have to do with the government. They're changing laws that God has said. Like, of course, the Obamacare is not in the Bible, so, you know, that we can just put that out. But what about, like you said, abortion? What about marriage?
That's right.
What about all of these other things that God has
in the Bible.
God has already set it up in the Bible.
Absolutely.
And so they are actually coming against God.
That's right.
And what a nation that comes against God is rebellious and is going to suffer loss. It's going to burn.
That's right. If these people don't come out, I'm just going to speak it out clearly. If they remain in that lifestyle, they will burn in hell. The Bible makes it real clear. There's no way to escape that. The only way is to turn your life over to Jesus. The man that knew no sin became your sin offering for you, that you can be made the righteousness of God through Him. That's what it has to be.
Amen.
No other way. And we
no
can't live
way.
That way. If we do, hey, God's. I had that word several years ago. It's about 6 years ago now, about God was going to give us another 10 years. And if we didn't change, His hand was just going to be lifted off our country. And we're beginning to see this in a terrible way today. All right, I took you over to Jeremiah chapter 44, and I want to show you something else about this Queen of Heaven. Making raisin cakes and all that. Amen? And so God told them, in fact, I'm going to read 44 verse 11. It says, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will set my face against you for evil and to cut off all of Judah." Why? Because of their paganism, their sin, and their worship and what? False gods. We have a lot of people in America today worshiping false gods. So I'm going to take you over to...
And you know, while you're going to the other place, I just want to kind of go back to those raisin cakes. You know, people are still making raisin
That's
cakes.
That's right, yeah.
They're still making raisin cakes in the name of God, in the name of Jesus, actually. At Passover, or what you call, people that would call Easter,
mm-hmm.
they have these things called hot cross buns, sort of like.
That's right.
And what they do is they put the raisins in them. It's like a little cupcake, sort of. And then they put the icing on it, put like a cross over the top. And you know, basically, it's the same thing.
Might have a couple of raisins on it, too.
And raisins in it. Yeah, there's raisins inside of it.
Yeah.
So it's like a raisin cake. You know,
That's
it's
right.
like a cupcake, a raisin cupcake. and with an icing cross on the top of it, and they call this for Easter.
That's right.
Well, they don't realize because they brought a tradition that these people who worship Tammuz did. They brought this tradition in, and they call it Christianity.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That's where see how people can be deceived? How the enemy twists things comes in the back door, if you might
call it iniquity.
Iniquity and call it Easter. Well, we know Easter is not Passover.
Nope.
Of course, this is not the time for us to teach on that, but we don't celebrate Easter. We celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Messiah. And we celebrate Passover because we don't do it legalistically, but we do it because this is the season. That's right. Why you need Pastor Gene's commentary so you know about all the seasons and all the feasts of the Lord.
So when we think about Easter, Easter came after the Passover, after Pesach, okay?
That's right.
And so the translators in the King James put that word in there for a purpose, and it's not the same word for Passover.
Let them know that there was a holiday during that time.
That's right.
That was called Estar, which they celebrated, and they worshipped. What did they worship?
Ishtar.
Babylonian fertility god. And so we turned Estar into Easter, and we have Easter eggs and bunnies and things that have to do with fertility.
That's right. Right.
And people say, oh, it's coming into the body of Christ, or people getting born again. No, it's not.
No, no.
You're twisting the word of God. You know, the Bible talks about iniquity, doesn't it?
And perversion.
Is twisting the word
right.
of God.
Come out from among them,
the Bible says. Come out from among them. And so what we're doing is we're bringing all of these Babylonian gods into what some might say Christianity, and they think it's all right. They don't know. They're destroyed for lack of knowledge.
That's right. But see, the enemy's out there to steal, kill, and destroy, and brings the lies. And if you tell a lie long enough, a lot of people, it becomes truth to them.
And even if you know the truth, some people won't even change their tradition
when they know the truth,
because they'll still put "come to our Easter service on so and so."
Right.
You know, instead of saying "come to and celebrate the resurrection of Christ,"
that's
Jesus,
right.
or you draw people to come and have some kind of Easter egg hunt. Well, you know, you're
with
teaching,
your children.
And now you're teaching your children.
That's right.
A lie. And so what happens when a lie is spoken to somebody so over and over and over again? They believe the lie. They think it's truth.
So why would it be Easter eggs? Because bunnies multiply really quick. And then we have these bunnies and the Easter eggs and all this stuff. You know, it's incredible. Because it's a fertility god.
So it's called Estar.
The country is, for the church at large, has had a curtain pulled down over them, and they're still looking at what they're looking at is a bunch of things from the Babylonian paganism and all that, and we have it in the church today.
That's right. Every single thing, just about everything the church celebrates, Christmas as well.
That's right.
It all has comes from these ungodly beliefs.
That's right.
Boy, we've got a lot of people are going to be turning us off today. Well, you know, your Bible says the truth will make us free.
That's right.
So you need to know the truth.
And we don't live on traditions.
No, we can't live on traditions. We need to know the truth. I don't care how you were raised. I was raised from the time I was a little kid, and so was my husband. We had a Christmas tree every single year in our life. We did the bunny hunt and the Easter basket stuff, even with our kids. But you know, the Bible says when you know the truth, the King James says, the truth will make you free.
You come out of it.
You have a choice to come out of it.
That's right.
Come out of that place. Make a change in your life. You know, sometimes there's the sacrifice. Well, because those things are fun. You feel like you're taking things away from your kids. No,
nope.
But you're better off telling your kids the truth.
That's right.
Because when they grow up, they will know the truth.
And they'll show it to their kids as well.
That's right. And we can have a generation that will know the truth.
That's right.
But what people want to stay in their tradition or in the things that they like because they like the fancy lights. Well, you know, it's really sad.
That's right. So what we ought to do, we've proved this before on this program over the years, that Yeshua was born during the Feast of Tabernacles. Why don't we do that at the Feast of Tabernacles and just glorify the birth of Christ, because that's when he came.
We do, in our church.
We do. But why don't the whole church do that instead of this pagan thing that came into place years ago because of what Constantine's mother did when she came to Jerusalem after he supposedly had some kind of an experience with the Lord, and she wanted to find all these historical places where the Lord walked and all that, and this is where this all came from. And what did they do? They laid down all the Judaism at that time. They took it all away from the Jews. They couldn't read the Bible. They couldn't circumcise their boys. They couldn't honor the appointed times. They couldn't do any of that. And so what happened? The paganism of what? Of the Greek world and all, with the early Christianity, was brought into the church at large. And so the Judaism just faded away, and we lost all of our roots. They're gone.
If anyone really had any sense, I mean, this is how the devil works. You know, sure. He'll take somebody that's not even a Jew and to come in and try to find out all the things about Jesus, Yeshua,
yeah.
who is a Jew. Yeshua
right.
is a Jew. And so instead of going to the Jewish people, going to, who is it that was that wrote the commentary that talks all about Jesus when he lived? You have it. I can't remember his name. A historian. But why not
Josephus.
Go Josephus? Why not go to a Jew who was there, who could show you the places? It's just isn't it just like the devil, how he comes to steal, kill, and destroy? Send somebody like Constantine,
King's mother, yeah,
not a Jew, but interesting, curious. She's curious. She wants to know the truth. But why not? You know, use find out from the horse's mouth. They might say
that's right.
Go to a Jewish person. Go to somebody who lived during that time, and here we are. We're listening to somebody else who's not
it.
Even a Jew, not
that's
even.
Right. That's right.
But see, that's how the devil works to deceive people.
It was a subtle thing that began to become in place in 325 A.D. and it just slowly grew down mm-hmm. through time, and then all this stuff came. I was going to take you to. I'm in Jeremiah 44. I want to read something else here, talking about this thing about. The Tammuz and the women. I'm going to start in verse 15 and read a few verses here. Listen to this. Then all the men which knew that their wives had burned incense unto other gods, and one of them was Tammuz, this fertility god, and all the women that stood by, a great multitude, even all the people that dwelt in the land of Egypt, in Pathros, answered Jeremiah, saying this. Now look what they said. As for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto thee. So they refused to listen to the prophet. And years before, in 2 Chronicles, God spoke over there and said, if we would obey and listen to what the prophets have to say, then we will prosper and have good life. Amen?
And, you know, people aren't going to hearken under some of the things that we're saying right now.
No.
Because they're stubborn, they're rebellious, they're stiff-necked people.
Yeah.
And they want to keep their
traditions.
Own traditions.
That's right.
Traditions of men.
That's right. Not men. That's what Jesus said. He says, you're keeping the traditions of men, not of God. Now, verse 17 says, but we will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth forth out of our mouths. See, they're going to do their own thing. To burn incense unto the queen of heaven. Here we are. This is Tammuz. And to pour out drink offerings unto her, as we have done. We and our fathers, our kings and our princes, in the cities of Judah, and in the streets of Jerusalem. For then had we plenty of victuals, it means there's either food and supplies, and were well, and saw no evil. But since we left off to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven, listen to this now, and to pour out drink offerings unto her, we have wanted all things and have been consumed by the sword and by the famine. And when we burned incense to the Queen of Heaven and poured out drink offerings unto her, did we make her cakes to worship her and pour out drink offerings unto her without our men, means without their husbands. Isn't that incredible? So then Jeremiah, he really nails them, if you read on here, what he says to them. Amen.
You know, people still do that today, Pastor Gene. It's called rebellion, and it's also called witchcraft.
That's right.
See, what are they doing? They are they're actually worshiping Satan.
That's right.
And so, of course, you know, so they would rather worship Satan than to stand for the Lord and
That's
stand
right.
for what God, for what's right.
You got it. Amen. Let's read on a little bit further here. Verse 20 says, then Jeremiah stood up, and said unto all the people, to the men and to the women, and to all the people which had given him that answer, you know, when they said, we're not going to do what God says, saying, the incense that ye burned in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, ye and your fathers, your kings and your princes and the people of the land, did not the Lord remember them, and came it not into his mind? He said, I hate what you're doing, in other words. Verse 22, so that the Lord could no longer bear because of the evil of your doings and because of the abominations which you have committed. Therefore is your land a desolation and an astonishment and a curse without an inhabitant as it is this day. Because you have burned incense and because you have sinned against the Lord and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord, nor walked in his law, nor in his statutes, nor in his testimony. This is the righteousness we're talking about. Therefore, this evil has happened unto you as at this day. Moreover, Jeremiah said unto all the people and to all the women, hear the word of the Lord, all Judah that are in the land of Egypt, that are in the land of Egypt. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, ye and your wives have spoken with your mouths and fulfilled with your hand, saying, we will surely perform our vows that we have vowed to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven again and to pour out drink offerings unto her. Ye will surely accomplish your vows and surely perform your vows. Therefore, hear ye the word of the Lord, all Judah that dwell in the land of Egypt. Behold, I have sworn by my great name, saith the Lord, that my name shall no more be named in the mouth of any man of Judah in all the land of Egypt, saying, the Lord God liveth. Behold, I will watch over them for evil and not for good. Woo. And all the men of Judah that are in the land of Egypt shall be consumed by the sword and by the famine until there be an end of them. Yet a small number that escape the sword shall return out of the land of Egypt into the land of Judah, and all the remnant of Judah that are gone into the land of Egypt to sojourn there shall know whose words shall stand, mine or theirs. So whose word will stand?
God or man?
God's words will stand. Amen?
Always.
Let's finish this. And this shall be a sign unto you, saith the Lord, that I will punish you in this place, and you may know that my words shall surely stand against you for evil. Boy, that makes me think about America. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will give Pharaoh Hophra, king of Egypt, into the hand of his enemies, and into the hand of them that seek his life, as I gave Zedekiah, king of Judah, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, his enemy, and that sought his life. So here we have it. Judgment came, didn't it?
And you see how the enemy used the wives,
yep,
the women. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Proverbs talks about, you know, a woman can be deceived. But I'm saying, where were the men? Where were the priests?
Standing for the word of God.
Are the men today? Yeah. Where are the priests? Mm-hmm. I mean, you just walk into any church, the majority of the people in the church are women.
That's right.
Not men. Where are the priests of the home? Where are the leaders of the home? See, God gave everyone, a man has a calling and a woman has a calling. And one is not higher than the other. They should work together. But see, here we have, it talks about these women who are making the cakes, who are doing these things. What are the men doing? They're just following along and they're just doing whatever.
That's right. Okay.
They're not standing up for what's right.
Nope.
Where are the priests in the land? I mean, here we have Jeremiah crying out, you know, and I mean, to be a holy person crying out for the Lord, I mean, you put your neck in a risk, don't you?
That's right.
Because, you know, but he was a prophet of God, and he spoke the truth. He spoke for God.
That's right.
He actually spoke for God.
He was the voice of God.
There are prophets in the land today. I think of Jonathan Kahn. I would say Jonathan Kahn is a prophet, like Jeremiah. Like Jeremiah.
The harbingers,
one who will,
yeah,
speak the truth.
Yes.
He wrote the harbingers. He wrote the Shemitah. He has actually prayed for during the prayer breakfast. He's
in
actually
Washington.
Yeah, been in the United Nations.
He spoke.
Yes, and you know he was willing to do anything, go anywhere for God. And who is he? He's a Jew.
That's right.
Born again
Jew.
Spirit filled, praise in tongues. You know, and so God has raised up. He's raising up Jewish people even today that will say, well, because they say, well, you're not a Jew, but here we have a Jew, a Jewish man, Jonathan Kahn, who is walking a life very similar to what happened in the days of Jeremiah.
That's right. And he's declaring the warnings.
And, you know, he said, you know, if we don't repent, if we don't return, if we don't teshuva, and if this nation doesn't return, we're facing destruction. We're facing destruction, maybe not from the enemy, maybe not from another country, but definitely God is not pleased.
That's right. So you think about this time with Israel from the 17th of Tammuz to the 9th of Av. Maybe this is why they've had all this calamity for all these years, because they're still thinking about this, what these raisin cakes and the things that they're doing contrary to the word of God. And so maybe this is why they had all this judgment down through the years.
And what happens on the ninth of Av? We're coming close to the ninth of Av.
That's right.
What happens? What happened on the ninth of Av? There's a lot of things that have happened around the world.
Not just the temples being torn down, but a lot of other things.
On the
against
ninth
the
of
Jewish people.
Against the Jewish people.
That's right. So it's incredible what we have in the Word of God. So God's warning us that, you know, He required Israel to walk righteous. Well, you know, we're grafted in. We're spiritual Jews. And so God expects us to obey the Word of God and to follow after that and not get into all this paganism. You know, our early founding fathers, when they came and all that, and the people there, you know, they wanted to do things right. And they did it according to the Bible. That's what they were wanting to do. Well, we drifted away from all that. Look what we got today. What a mess we're in today. You know, Jesus said, a nation divided will never stand. A church can't, a home can't, the nation can't. And so here we're divided.
It's because people don't love God.
That's right.
Jesus spoke about that, loving God and loving your neighbor.
That's
right. If people would love God, then they would obey God. He would be their father.
That's right.
But if God isn't loved and he's not honored and he's not feared, there's not a holy fear. They don't obey God. They turn away from Him. They do what they want to do. Then they don't love God. And Jesus, I believe Jesus' law is a higher law than all the laws that God put into place when He gave the Ten Commandments and all the other things. Because if we love God, then we will want to
do those
do
things.
The things that but from the heart.
That's right.
And the Spirit of God will lead us into all truth, and we won't fall. We won't get caught up in stuff like this.
That's right.
In the affairs of men. We will want to be pleasing to the Lord. If you want to please the Lord God Almighty, and you fear Him with all your heart, you fear Him, it doesn't mean you're afraid of Him. There's a holy fear. God is holy. And
that ought to keep us on the path too, right?
It will keep us.
That's right.
That's right, because the Spirit will lead us into all truth. See,
amen.
The Bible says the Spirit's going to lead us into all truth. So if we have the Spirit of God within us, and we do, those who are born again, then we can hear from the Spirit, but we have a choice to make, and it's right.
That's right. It's in our mind. That's where the
right
battle is.
Between our ears.
That's
you
right.
Know? But if we have a hard heart, if our heart has turned hard, you know, then we won't want to do the things that God says. We'll want to do our own thing.
That's right. I think about Matthew 6:33. It says, seek first the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is where God is at and all His principles and statutes and all that. To seek that first, it says, all right? Seek first the kingdom of God. And it says, in His righteousness. So He's established a righteousness in this book that I have before me. And He expects us, if we're going to say we're serving God, that we are walking with Him and doing the best of our ability to obey the things He's telling us to do. And then He says, we're willing to do that. He says, then all the other things will be added to us. We don't have to go out and beg for it or anything. It's just going to be there because God's going to bless us. Amen?
Amen.
So He hastens to perform His word. We know that. And so this is so important. We think about this. Here we're coming into this time. Next week it'll be Tammuz 17, coming up to these 21 terrible days starting on Tammuz 17, of so many things that's happened with Israel, and especially when they got up to the ninth of Av when the two temples were destroyed. But we'll talk about that next week. There's so many other things that happened on that particular day. And so God is warning people. There's a warning going out right now. Thank God we got a few prophets in the land that are willing to stand up and discuss this and declare it. And thank God Jonathan Cahn, he got invited to the prayer breakfast before the inaugural address and all that. And he nailed it. He told them what was wrong. He talked about sin and all that. And then he said the same thing at the United Nations.
And
when
the
he
Capitol
was at,
building,
and
too.
And the Capitol building. So thank God there's somebody. And I'm so thrilled because as a Jewish man that God's using in a dynamic way that knows who His Messiah is, and He's declaring what the Word of God has to say. And so it's precious to know that. But the whole country needs to turn. We need to all teshuvah. We're going to be coming up to the month of Elul here before too long. The first day of Elul is the beginning of a time called teshuvah. For a period of 30 days. It's a time to return, to turn back and come back to God. Well, see, a lot of our countries never come to God to start with. We're living the way we want to live. And so we think we're establishing our own righteous way we want to live. And you ask most people, they think they're righteous. Well, I'm not so bad. I haven't murdered anybody. I haven't raped anybody. I haven't robbed the bank. I haven't done this. Well, see, that's the mind working. The righteousness that we have has to come out of our heart and what God said for us to do. And if you read this, I've said this many times on this program. If you read Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, those are the Beatitudes that Jesus talked about, Yeshua talked about. Those are the attitudes that we must be. And if you listen to it real close and read it, it's all goes right to the heart. Everything he talked about had to come out of the heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, man speaketh. It has to come out of the heart. The heart has to be changed. So we got a lot of people in America today that's never accepted Christ. They got their own religion or whatever. Well, until the heart's changed, not much is going to happen in America. So it would take a major, major move of God across the land of America to get all those hearts changed and to come to Christ, and then things would change greatly. But we're so far down the road, how could it ever be turned around? We probably got 200 or 300 different opinions out here in America today. And every little thing that comes up, they make a big deal out of it. Just like the Confederate flag and all the stuff we're hearing on the news now. Just a bunch of stuff that we waste our time on, and we're still talking about racism, and that's a dead issue in my heart. You know, God doesn't look at the color of skin; He looks at the heart with everybody. And so we got all this stuff that we're trying to just continually to promote and bring up trouble and all the things that's going on in this land. We need to turn around and come back to God totally. That means we have to get in His Word and stay there and see what He has to say, and then say, "All right, Lord, I'm going to abide by Your Word. I'm going to remain right there with You, and what You tell me to do here." To what to do and what to stay away from, that's what I want to do. And I'm going to come out from all this junk that we have in America. I live in this America, in this land, but the Bible says our kingdom's not of this world. Our kingdom is in the future, but we also can have the kingdom is within our heart right now to serve Jesus. First, seek that kingdom. We want that His kingdom in our heart to do all the things that He would have us to do and to follow after Him. He's got a table set before us with so many wonderful things that we can accomplish and do for Him and love Him even more so. And the more you find out about Him, the more you fall in love with Him, right?
And
Pastor?
Even Enoch is an example.
That's right.
He's already been able to see that.
Yep.
I want to read what Jesus said over here, okay? There was a question asked Jesus over in Mark chapter 12.
Mm-hmm.
And the question was, which is the first commandment of all?
Right.
This is the question. And Jesus answered and He said, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Right,
the only Lord.
The only Lord. And so he's telling them, you know, no raisin cakes. Okay.
That's right.
And Jesus went on and said, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul.
There's your mind.
And with all thy mind.
That's right.
And with all thy strength.
That's right. Thank you, Lord.
This is the first commandment. If we have this.
Yes, Lord. We have everything.
We have everything. We don't have to start labeling and listing laws and laws and laws and laws and laws. No, because if we love the Lord with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, all our strength, and then we'll obey the Spirit of the Lord because we have the Spirit of the Lord within us. And Jesus said, verse 31, and the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor
as
thyself.
That's right.
There is none other commandment greater than these.
Incredible. That's right.
That's from Jesus.
Right. And you know, Paul wrote this in the book of Galatians in chapter 5, verse 22. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit, you know, it's singular, is love,
joy,
peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So if we can have all those in our life through the Holy Ghost, think about
this.
We would be tempered in our lives and all that.
We wouldn't get angry.
Yeah, we wouldn't get angry. We would be fulfilling the law.
Fulfilling the total,
right.
All the law.
That's right.
You love your neighbor. It doesn't matter what color they are.
Nope.
What race they are.
Nope. What they look like. That's right.
You love. Who is your neighbor? Oh, I only have a neighbor on this side and that side. I want across the street. No, your neighbor is anyone you're close to. It could be somebody in your church. It could be somebody that you're standing next to in the grocery store.
Right.
It could be your neighbor is somebody who's next to you.
That's right.
Who's near to you, who's next to you. Doesn't mean it. So he's basically saying, you know, Jesus loved the whole world. He loves everyone. God loves everyone. God hate anyone. God is not willing that any should perish, but God is just, and He's gonna justice and mercy.
Either you do it His way, or you're gonna be lost. That's it. It's that simple.
I
thought about, you know, last Sunday was Father's Day. If you took a lot of congregations here in our city, here in Stuart, and some of them aren't very big, if you ask all the men to stand up on Father's Day to bless them, you would see how few they are. And then if you turn around and ask all the women to stand up, you'd see that there's about 10 women to every one man. Something's wrong with our country because the men are not in the right place they should be. They're not good husbands. They're not good fathers because they're not going to church and they're not doing the things that God wants them to do. And so no wonder we have divorce at the highest rate it's ever been. And it's continuing to go up because the men are not taking the place. They are supposed to be, according to the Word of God, to be the high priest of their family. And if they take the role that they're supposed to have, the families will
leadership change.
That's right.
And lead according to Christ.
That's right.
Lead according to God's Word.
That's right. You see a lot of Jewish families in America today, you know. The fathers pray for their boys and all that. And you don't see a lot of stuff from the Jewish population of the stuff that we see with the rest of the world. Because what? The ones that want to serve God, they're going to do things to the best of their ability according to the Word of God. And they bless their family and all that. And you'll see what's going on with them, that they're being blessed. If we do what God says, He says He hastens to perform His Word. So if we acknowledge anything that we want done to Him and ask Him to show us, what's He going to do? He'll tell you how to do it, and then He can bless you if you follow Him and do it His way. And so we have the same thing with the commandments, don't we? Do we want to keep them, or do we want to do what we want to do?
Amen.
So there's a choice, and where's the choice? Between our ears, like Donna just said a moment ago. That's where the battle is. So we're honored to be here with you. And so next week we're going to continue on. We talked about Tammuz here a little bit today and how pagan this thing is. Well, next week we're going to go on and talk about these 21 days. It'll start on Tammuz 17, and it's going to run through the 9th of Av, when the temples were torn down. And we'll share some things here next week about that, and to show us that there's a lot of things we need to stay away from. Amen?
Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, we went a lot of different ways today,
yeah,
Pastor Gene, but you know, that's how the Holy Spirit leads us.
That's right.
And we really don't have a planned agenda, but he kind of just leads
led
us,
by
and
the
we
Spirit.
Just kind of bounce back and forth, and yep. We just want to hear from the Holy Ghost.
That's
amen?
Right.
So I pray that if you're listening, if you don't know Jesus, so you'll ask Jesus to come into your heart and you'll get born again. You must be born from above to enter the kingdom of God. Well, we're running out of time. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton, and we're blessed to be here. You can come to the minister, come to the church if you'd like to, and we'd love to minister to you. Our phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007. This afternoon at 4 o'clock, we'll be having a wonderful video about Enoch, and also we have a dinner afterwards, and tomorrow morning we'll have service at 10 a.m.
So we're honored to be here with you. So we hope you got something out of this today.
Amen.
That you could put in your heart. And if there's someone listening right now that you've never asked Jesus Christ, the Messiah, to come
That's
into
right.
your heart, all you have to do is just bow your knee and just ask Him.
Bow your heart.
In your heart and yield to Him. Say, Lord, I want You to come in and take over my life. And He'll do it just that quick. Donna talked about me when I was running in the rain that day. And the Lord spoke to me. I just bowed my knee and came to the Lord. And so that's all you have to do. So we're on this program every week because we want to see you blessed. We want to see you to mature and to grow up. And we tell you to look up because your redemption draws nigh. Why don't we say, Pastor Don?
Shabbat shalom, Sabbath peace, and rest.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of prophecy.